It just doesn't do anything but amaze me every time I pick up the book of Exodus for study, because this is such a crucial book in the Bible. It has so many stories that others have picked up on and found a sense of liberation, freedom, and a new beginning. Listen for the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 1. You remember, in particular, we've been hearing about the faith history of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then Joseph. Joseph, who had saved Israel. Joseph, who had kept not only Israel, but Egypt from starvation, from mass starvation. So the story of Joseph and his great success and the blessings that he brought to his own people and to the people in the country where they were living, to Egypt, is what had just happened before this. And now the story picks up in chapter 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, they'll join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites. They made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick, every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed upon them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiprah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women, when you see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous, and they give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw it into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. While her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and he was crying. She took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me. I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And she took him as her son. And she named him Moses, because I drew him out of the water. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Remember. That's the key concept in the book of Exodus. Remember the stories of our people, the people of faith. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Remember Joseph. There is this long history of the people of faith. They weren't perfect people, but God taught them, God led them, God graced them. And they learned, sometimes after a long, painful time, they learned how to live together with one another, and they learned how to trust God. Faith is about remembering. It's about looking back and remembering what God has done. We're reminded of Joseph and his brothers and how God dealt kindly and graciously than that. We're reminded that God's faithfulness not only saved the people of Israel, but saved the people of Egypt from mass starvation. This land where the people of Israel were dwelling as foreigners, strangers in a strange land. The empire of Egypt would have been devastated if it were not for these foreigners living among them, if it were not for Joseph and God working graciously through him. Then Joseph died, and all that generation. That's such a poignant thought, isn't it? You stop and think, in our experience, what's it like to have the oldest member of one generation die? All of a sudden, all these memories are gone unless we're the ones doing the remembering. Their success, their fruitfulness, whatever's happened, it's only remembered if we do the remembering. The text says, then a new king rose over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he did not remember. The book of Exodus is about what it means to forget where you came from, to forget about the foreigners who saved you, to forget about the values that God intends for you to have. Exodus is a witness of this broad spiritual amnesia. And therefore, the book of Exodus is a critique. It critiques the king of Egypt. It critiques Pharaoh, but not just Pharaoh himself. It critiques the whole people of Egypt. It critiques the nation. And the story is carried forward so the people of faith will remember, because they too could turn into a new Pharaoh. This is a book about what values will guide a nation. The king of Egypt says, let us deal shrewdly with these foreigners. The foreigners start out as guests. They turn into honored guests. They turn into saviors. But then, with the forgetting, they turn into slaves. Pharaoh sets us a series of measures to help us see what can happen when we forget, as we see the greater and greater oppression that happens under this king who forgets. But the people of Israel, it says, were resilient. The harder it got, the stronger they grew, and the more they multiplied, because God is faithful. God isn't mentioned explicitly because there's an assumption that God is there, present, but maybe behind the scenes. The people of Pharaoh's empire, however, those people of Egypt, they grew more and more fearful. They lived in dread of these strangers. And so they turned these guests into slaves and made them serve. One translation says, with rigor. I like that one. Hard, stiff, hard service, hard bricks, hard mortar, hard work, hard life. It's a life that's bitter and cruel. And then the king of Egypt says to the Hebrew midwives, I want to stop there for a second and say, up to this point it had said, Israelites, 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 and all of a sudden it switches and says, Hebrew. That's an interesting turn in the text. The word Hebrew, which the Jews are often called, the word Hebrew is a word that comes from the original word meaning riffraff. The outsiders of society. And the basic idea is, as the people of Israel were growing, they included the outcasts, the people at the margins of society. Part of what they were doing was growing strong because they had this inclusive vision for the world. And so they multiplied as they were gracious to these people in need. But the people of Pharaoh's empire grew more and more fearful. The Hebrews are there, and by the way, I remember in the Cairo Museum, just inside the doorway, there was a big stone that had a list of all the people that had served Pharaoh, and one of the people was the Hipiru, the riffraff, the Hebrews, who included these other people on the list who had been enslaved. Well, two of these riffraff women were midwives. Pharaoh summons them. One of the woman's name was Shiphrah. It means blossom. Isn't that nice? The other's name was Puah. It means beautiful. Blossom and beautiful. These two humble, ordinary women, characters that otherwise you don't hear about, are summoned by the emperor to come, and he gives them an order. If it's a baby boy that's born, kill it. If it's a baby girl, let it live. The brutality of this empire is clear. It is a brutal emperor, and these midwives are commanded to do the opposite of what is their role. They're to give life, but now they're told, at that moment of vulnerability, take life away. It's brutal. What's more subtle is that they're ordered to let the baby girls live. Well, what will happen when those baby girls grow up and they have no man in that patriarchal society to watch over them? Then they will become vulnerable and they will end up becoming the concubines of the Egyptians. So it's really two commands that are degrading, terrible, as Pharaoh watches over his empire in fear. And it would have stayed that way if it hadn't been for these two midwives, these two ordinary people, Blossom and Beautiful, who find the faith and the courage to subvert the orders of the emperor. They let the babies live. It's a breathtaking action for its courage. Nonviolent civil disobedience at its heart, and that in the face of the most powerful man in the empire. And then the emperor summons them to the palace, and he calls them to account. What is going on? Why are these male babies living? And with this wonderful sense of irony, Blossom and Beautiful, you can just picture them, you know, wide, doe-eyed, looking at him, saying, what can we do? These Hebrew women, they're not like those soft Egyptian women. These are vigorous, tough women. They're out in the fields. They're harvesting the wheat. They're 9 months pregnant. They stop for 5 minutes, give birth, tear off the umbilical cord with their teeth, and sling the baby on their back and get right to work. It's hysterical that Blossom and Beautiful are making fun of the emperor to his face, ridiculing the emperor right there. And what I think is absolutely wonderful is we remember their names, Puah and Shiphrah, Blossom and Beautiful. And nowhere in the book of Exodus do we remember the emperor's name. Exodus is about remembering and about doing something beautiful and helping people to blossom, even in the face of the empire. But Pharaoh, true to form, does not stop there. He finds a way to become even more harsh and cruel. He commands his people to become murderous. He says, every son that is born to those riffraff Hebrews, throw it in the Nile. But, he says, to be very clear, you let those girls live. But there was a woman of the tribe of Levi who bears a son. She stands also against the edict of the emperor. Notice in the story so far, the story later on will be about Moses and about Aaron and all the men of Israel. But so far, the original troublemakers were the women. That's where you get started. The people who were most vulnerable, that you would think would have the least amount of power, they're the ones who first stand up against the empire. So she hides her son. And when he gets too old to hide, they put him in a basket in the river. The basket, the word for that is ark. So it's this image, a reminder, a subtle reminder of Noah's ark and how God was faithful to the ark when the waters rose. So God is faithful again in this little ark. It only has one beast inside. It's baby Moses. And she watches, her sister watches, as God keeps covenant subtly in the background. Moses' sister hides in the reeds, and she waits for Pharaoh's daughter to come down. Now remember, the Nile has now become this river of death, where they throw the babies to kill them. And it really is quite a statement that Pharaoh's daughter, she just comes down to have a bath in this river of death, as if nothing horrible was going on around her. Pharaoh's daughter sees the basket. She sends her maid to fetch it. And it says she took pity on him. It's like it was a stray kitten or something. She felt sorry for it. It does not say what Pharaoh's daughter, that Pharaoh's daughter knew what to do next. And just at that moment, Moses' sister steps out of the reeds. She comes out of the weeds where she'd been hiding, and she says to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go call a woman, a nurse from the Hebrews, to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, you should go call a nurse from the Hebrews to nurse the child." It's like that scene out of Star Wars where Obi-Wan Kenobi does his mind tricks, the Jedi mind tricks. It's beautiful because she suggests, and Pharaoh's daughter just says, "Yes, that's what we should do." The irony of the story is that not only does the baby's mother get the baby back, but now she gets paid for taking care of him, and it comes out of the Pharaoh's treasury. It's a subtle message from an often subtle God. God is faithful, and our faithfulness includes making sure that we stand for what's right when all around have forgotten. Terrible things happen, the book of Exodus teaches us. Terrible things happen when people forget, when they forget their history, when they forget their values. Brutal regimes rise, but this does not have to happen. It's not a given. It comes from the choice of the people. It's not about Pharaoh on the throne having all the power, because these ordinary people have the power, and they can stand against the brutal, harsh, even murderous regime. Exodus is a warning for all generations. It is fascinating to look at world history and to see the number of countries that have said the book of Exodus is part of what helped us to come to be a free people. Exodus is a warning to all generations. Be careful of who you are becoming. Be careful of the values that you practice. Because as the story goes on, and we read further in Exodus, you see that Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they started out being murderous towards the babies of the riffraff. But that's not where the stories end, because the world flips upside down. And the story goes on that the Egyptians' own firstborn would perish, all of them. Exodus is a warning. Remember the God who has called you into being. Remember the ways that God is guiding you, has guided you, will guide you. There's one word that appears in the book of Exodus 97 times. It's the word serve. And at 97 times, that's a not too subtle way of saying this is a really important idea. The word serve, it sets up the question, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve Pharaoh and his murderous regime, or are you going to serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Joseph, the God who has brought people into a new way of being in the world? That's the question of Exodus. 97 times, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? It's your choice. But if you're going to serve God, you have to remember. That's part of what we do in worship. We gather together because there is this long story of God in the Bible about who we are serving and what has happened over our faith history. We're asking the confirmation class to be in church every Sunday, as we always do, because part of what confirmation is about is a spiritual discipline of learning what the stories are and remembering them anew. And part of what we do is we come to worship ourselves to listen to those stories, but we also come to inspire and support one another to remember those stories. There are all sorts of emperors and empires that have arisen over world history, and this story critiques them all. By critiquing, it has the power to dismantle them. And this story is one that every time you come to it, it just has more and more to teach. You ask the question, where did it begin to go wrong? Well, Pharaoh forgot. He forgot what had come before. And then they began to live in fear. That's the second problem. They live in fear of the outsider, the fear that led to their failure, the failure of their people, the failure of their nation. And then Pharaoh made the third crucial mistake. He began to implement these harsh, rigorous, cruel, murderous policies, but he made one fatal assumption. He assumed that no one would hear the cries of the riffraff. He assumed that no one would hear the cries of the oppressed. But nearby, out in the darkness, Out in the darkness imposed by Pharaoh, there is something on the move in the darkness that the Lord of the darkness himself cannot comprehend. That God is near. That God, this subtle God, is a faithful God, a God who keeps covenant, a God who hears the cries of the oppressed, a God who can overcome any power in the world, any power to hurt or divide. And this is the beginning of that story of the next journey of the people of faith. As the midwives, Shiprah and Puah, discovered Blossom and Beautiful, they discovered that even ordinary, humble people have the power to take small actions that are faithful and compassionate, good and true, actions that lead to life. I think that's where we begin. We begin asking, what can we do to make sure that we as a people are being faithful? Because we are the people who are called to remember who God is, to remember who we are called to be. The book of Exodus says, remember.